Well, I have a number of questions I want to ask you about yourself and about your work. But first, let's talk about The Mercy Man and how you came to write this novel and to create a rather unusual hero. You have a Puerto Rican as a hero. And I don't know that I haven't run across any Puerto Rican heroes. I don't mean to say it that way. Any mysteries that have Puerto Rican detectives. I guess I should rephrase that before I'm lynched. So tell me about how you devised this character and tell me how Mercy Man got off the ground.
Okay, well, I originally thought of it in terms of a screenplay. And I actually wrote a rough draft of a script. Because it occurred to me that there was a real need for a Hispanic hero in both the cinema and literature. And I worked with it a bit, and I thought it might take better to a novel form, so I rewrote it as a novel. And I tried to mainstream it, so it obviously appeals to the mass market reader and the thriller reader, but at the same time it transcends that ethnic barrier, but it preserves it as well, so that there is a certain original aspect to the character.
Of course, Willie Diaz, I guess you pronounce it, right? Diaz?
Right.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Diaz.
I've heard this a number of ways of pronouncing that name, but he is not without his flaws. Tell me about those.
He drinks a bit too much. He's been traumatized by his wife's death, and that didn't help matters much. And I guess he's the classic down and out detective in this case, in living in Spanish Harlem.
And he used to be a police officer.
Yeah, he was a police officer. I'm just trying to remember the character. I've been so tied up in these two books I've just finished. And he was a police officer for a few years, a good cop, and he just retired when his wife died. I think he became disillusioned with the force and with the idea of law enforcement.
And in The Mercy Man, he's deeply in hock.
Yeah, he's got a car. He's got a Jaguar that he's got payments out to the mob, and he's paying them off in installments. And so he's looking to make the big score, which comes via DeLuca, who is a well-off banker, who, in order to find a Hispanic girl, comes to an Hispanic detective. And that's the tie-in. That's where Diaz...
When he's looking for an Hispanic girl, he's not looking for a hooker, but he's looking for a woman who has disappeared the same date that a priest was found murdered. And so this sets off not only a search for the murderer, but a search for this young woman. And it becomes a rather intricate and hard-boiled detective story. And it's set, of course, in East Harlem and in some of the shabbier districts of Manhattan. Tell me about how you did your research. Did you actually go into these tough neighborhoods? Did you see a cockfight on you? That's one of your scenes, for example.
I have seen them. I didn't see one in Spanish Harlem. But, for a while there, in all my time writing, I've had a number of odd jobs, and one of the oddest was working in Spanish Harlem for a moving company. And my partner had the name Willie Diaz, and it just so happens he was from that world, a Hispanic guy, obviously Puerto Rican. And, yeah, I've really seen the moving business in that part of town is pretty seedy, or just life in general where I happen to be. A lot of drugs, a lot of violence. And I did my research sort of inadvertently, just by being there. I picked up the essence of that world.
And, of course, the Mercy Man doesn't shrink from violence, does he?
No, he's a violent man in a violent world. And he was an ex-boxer, so he, as was Willie Diaz, a friend of mine who's now in jail for a drug charge. He's a violent man. It's a violent book. Keeping to the genre, and it really is hard-boiled and the very visceral.
Well, The Mercy Man is your second novel. Your first was Wimbledon, a paperback. Tell me about that book.
Yeah, that was a book I wrote about 6 years ago. And when I was living in London as a journalist, and I came over to New York and I tried to sell it, and it took about 5 years to get a buyer. But I thought it was such a perfect commercial idea, which it turned out to be. It became a bestseller and was optioned for a miniseries this past summer. And that dealt essentially with a McEnroe figure versus a sort of Lendl figure, thinly veiled. They had different names, but it was a Russian versus an American leading up to the Wimbledon title, the Wimbledon championship. And that did real well. That there was a need again. I saw a need for a tennis book, a tennis thriller. And I'm doing the sequel to that. I've just finished it. Just finished it yesterday.
No.
Called Forest Hills.
Congratulations. Who published that?
That was published by Paperjacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a mass market paperback house in New York, Canada, and I think the UK.
Tell me about your background. You said you were a journalist. How did this all begin?
Well, when I got out of high school, I decided to become a journalist. I moved to London.
I should ask, where did you grow up?
I grew up outside of Princeton, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Little country, little farm out there, and left there about 11 years ago, and went right to London. I had a girlfriend, actually, who lived in London. I went to be with her. And I started working freelance for the papers over there. It's one of the only jobs a foreigner can get, because you can't get the equivalent.
Did you go after college?
No, I didn't go to college. I went straight out of high school. And I did that for a while, and I decided then I wanted to be a thriller writer. So I wrote about 5 books in the course of about 4 years, which didn't go anywhere. And it was sort of an apprenticeship. That's how I saw it. And then I came back to America after about, I guess, 5 or 6 years in London, and again tried to be a thriller writer. I did some freelance journalism, but that's a tough road to hoe. And eventually it paid off. I've had about 1 million jobs, you know, all sorts, and it was only in the last year that I, with the success of 2 books and the film rights helped, and now I'm writing full-time thrillers.
Oh, that's great. You said you worked in the moving business. What were some of the other jobs you had?
Let's see. I've been a bouncer at bars. I was a gardener in France. When I lived in London, in the summer and spring, I'd go to a place called Gassin, which is in the south of France. And I worked there on an estate as sort of the gardener handyman for 2 years. And it so happened the couple that I worked for were journalists. And they were great because they helped edit my books and they encouraged me, and I really needed it back then, that encouragement. I mean, I still need it now, but I needed it more then. Yeah, and that was interesting. That was a great part of the world.
I'm not sure there's too much of an equation between journalism and writing fiction, from my observation.
Yeah, there's not, but it's certainly if you start out as a journalist, as you would know, you learn how to put words together very economically. And the thriller, as a rule, the more economically you can put it together and write it, the term Hemingway-esque comes to mind. If you can keep it lean and spare and hard-boiled, you'll get a readership as long as you can tell a story. I think that's the key.
Did you have some fiction role models?
Yeah, I have. Well, right now, I think Ken Follett's one of the best as far as thriller writing. And it took me a while, but I have the same agent as Ken now. And that's my ambition, to become the top thriller writer in the world.
Well, he had a lot of early struggles himself, and many, many pen names, too. He wrote mm-hmm. paperback books mostly. And I've interviewed him a couple of times and gone through his life story, and it didn't start easily and quickly for him.
That's right. He did about 10, I think, 10 paperback originals before he hit with Eye of the Needle.
That's right, and not under his own name either.
Yeah, I interviewed him actually for something at one point, and he, I think he was 28 when Eye of the Needle came out, so he did put his dues in early, and then suddenly, ever since then, he hasn't looked back. But I was lucky enough to get Al Zuckerman as my agent, and that was a real coup, at least for me, at least I thought so.
Well, so what happens next? You said you did a sequel. But your goal is to keep turning out pieces of fiction on a regular basis?
Yeah, I think if I could do a book a year, I'd be happy. Mm-hmm. I've been doing more than that the past couple of years. But if I could do one big book a year, not exactly like The Mercy Man. The Mercy Man is a thriller with a detective. I'd like to sort of get away from that with my next one and do... I've actually written it. It's about an ex-Scotland Yard detective, in fact, who comes to America to solve a series of sort of serial killing. But that character is much more fleshed out. I think it's a bigger book. It's sort of based on a guy like about my father's age, who's late 50s, who's coming to terms with aging. And the character is three-dimensional. I mean, I think I was successful with that in Willie Diaz with The Mercy Man. But that's more of a genre book than the books I look forward to writing.
Are you going to bring Willie back?
St. Martin's wants me to, but I haven't decided. I'd like to see what his reception is, and possibly in the future I'll resuscitate him.
I don't like the way you phrased resuscitate. Not when you're talking about all the violence and killing in this book. The process of writing, now that you're doing it full time, how do you order your life and your day?
Well, I try to put in a full day. I get up about 8, and I sit down and type for a few hours. I have a word processor. And then when I compose, I'm always writing something, so I sit down with a notebook, and I try to do about 4 or 5 notebook pages a day in freehand. And I guess it takes me about 8 to 9 months to finish a book. Although the sequel I just did for Wimbledon, I had to write in a month. And so I just finished that, and I've been beating my head against the wall with that.
Why did you have to write it in a month?
Because I wasn't sure I was going to do it. It was some sort of contractual obligation. And it transpired that it would be good for me to do, considering what a success Wimbledon was. So I talked to my publisher, and they told me, you know, we need to book by Boom. And, you know, in order, because we wanted to run it at the time of Forest Hills. As Wimbledon is Wimbledon and Forest Hills are the two biggest events.
Aren't you taking a chance of knocking out a book that fast?
I am. Yeah, I guess so. You know, I haven't seen it. I haven't looked at it like that. But I did a lot of work on it. I think it's going to be pretty good. It's the mass market market is a little less. I don't know how to phrase this without coming out wrong, but a little less demanding almost than the hardcover market. The readers are a little less discerning, maybe.
Well, yeah, you said Wimbledon was a bestseller, and how does a original paperback become a bestseller? Usually it doesn't get reviewed.
Yeah, it was amazing to me. I had no clue that it would be as successful as it was, but Paperjacks did a big promo. It was their lead title last June, and I think because there had never been a tennis thriller before, certainly helped, and they did a lot of advertising. And I guess word of mouth, because it had all the elements. You know, it was very violent, and it had sex and drugs and a little tennis in there somewhere. And I think that combined to make a bestseller. It happens, you know, not very often, but occasionally.
And Forest Hills is no more genteel.
Same school.
Sex, violence, drugs, and so forth.
Yeah, same school of writing. It's got all.
Well, I congratulate you for wrapping up Forest Hills, and certainly I enjoyed The Mercy Man. It was a fast-moving, hard-boiled piece of detective fiction. I think readers are going to enjoy Willie Diaz, and I think they're going to particularly like him because he is a Hispanic, and you just don't see too many Hispanic heroes in this sort of book. So I wish you well on this one. I hope this really takes off, and I thank you very much for spending this brief amount of time with me.
All right, thank you, Don.